This week on football, France scrape a narrow victory over Gibraltar. Steven Gerrard names his greatest of all time.
The arrival, obviously, of the GOAT, as we call him, Cristiano, him arriving.
Man realises his chomp merch has arrived. Lukaku runs riot. Yes, that's right. We are back and it is another episode of Goalposts for Jumpers. It's me, your host, Alex, and it's episode 58. We have got to the magic number of 58, the milestone number. What does it mean? I don't know. Let me zoom out of this. Hold on. We're not going to do a few things this week because obviously it's the international break. I apologise. It's boring, I know, but we're going to try and lighten it up for you a little bit. We've got a few things coming up this week that are a little bit different, like I said, but we are going to start off as ever with a quiz question. This week's quiz question is, according to FPL, that's Fantasy Premier League, which two players have the most assists so far this season? So according to FPL, which two players have the most assists recorded this season? I'll tell you the answer at the end of the show if you don't know it already, if you're not a keen observer of Fantasy Premier League. I know, obviously, probably about this sort of time, this is where everyone's done in. No one can be bothered with it anymore. Well, I'm still in it. My day one team's still in it. I think I mentioned it earlier in a few episodes kind of into this season that we do a day one team where we don't touch our teams. We leave it. No transfers, no substitution. The most simple, least stressful way to play Fantasy Premier League. If you can get your mates together, pick a starting team for the start of the season and don't touch it. Just watch it. And do you know what? You still get that kind of intense excitement. You still support this, like, players that you've picked, and you actually feel like you connect to those players. Like, I've got Harry Maguire in my team and I'm like, go on, Harry. Like, he's awful, but go on, Harry. Like, you actually look forward to, I always think you look forward to seeing those players play as well. Like, if you've got a random team and you've got a player in there from Brighton or West Ham or something, you actually look forward to watching them play, and there's no stress of missing transfer deadlines. So I think it's something that everyone should try. And in fact, next season we'll do a full day one team league. Right, guys, coming up this week, we've got a two lies and a truth as ever. We will be reviewing your TikTok submissions. We'll also be reviewing the Chomp of the Week from last week, and we've got no Team of the Week this week because of international break. So first up, I'm going to touch on something which I didn't aim to chomp people by, but last week's episode, I said that Gareth Bale's season, the 2012-13 season for Gareth Bale before he went to Madrid, was the best individual performance anyone's given in a Premier League season. And I put a video out there, I put it on YouTube, and I put it on TikTok, and barely anyone commented. So I threw it up on Instagram, and Instagram Reels took hold of it, and it's still going now, and people are furious about it. So, I mean, head to our Instagram to see, but people are chomping left, right, and centre, and it wasn't even meant to be a chomp. I actually believe Gareth Bale's season is one of the best, if not the best season any individual player's ever had in the Premier League. But it got me thinking, what is, and if it's not Gareth Bale's, what is the best Premier League season anyone's ever had as an individual? So I've got some nominees, and you can tell me who you think has had the best individual season ever. And the nominations are Ballistic Bale, 2012-13, 21 goals, 8 assists, 9 goals from outside the box. That season, I think he won every single accolade imaginable, from the PFA football writers to the football players, player of the year awards. He won everything. Second nominee, Sumptuous Suarez, 13-14. That's the 2013-14 season. He got 31 goals and 12 assists. Absolutely phenomenal. And that was one of the big contenders that I was kind of weighing up in my head when I first made what was my opinion of Bale. We've got record breaker Haaland. That's Haaland, 22-23. That's last season's 36-goal haul and 8 assists to throw that in there as well. We've got invincible Henry, 2003-2004, 30 goals, 6 assists in the invincible team that went on and went unbeaten for the whole season. Then we've got beast mode Yaya Toure, his 13-14 season, 20 goals, 9 assists from midfield. One of the, I mean, I've never seen anything like it from a midfield player. Absolutely untouchable that season. And then final nomination is Ballon d'Or Ronaldo. That's 2007-2008. His 31 goals and 7 assists to make him the Footballer of the Year, the Ballon d'Or winner in the Premier League. Those are your 6 nominations. Tell me who you think should be in there if they're not already in there, and I'll put a vote up. I'll put a poll up and you can tell me who we think is the overall winner. Okay, right. Let's have a quick look at the Champ League table. I mean, like I said, we put a chomp out there last week and we actually got more chomps on something accidental. But we've got Arsenal fans still at the top, Scottish fans, Toblerone fans, followed by Tottenham fans, and bottom were Liverpool fans. Last week we did a Man City fans chomp where we said Grealish shouldn't be in there, Alanga should be in the current England squad, even though he's Swedish. They are bottom. Man City fans only recorded 160 chomps. I don't know why this is. It was a really strange one because when I put it up there, the biggest kind of pushback wasn't that Alanga shouldn't be in there because he's from Sweden. It was more like Jack Grealish is a great player and actually, yeah, you're right, Southgate's shit for not picking Alanga. I'm like, does anyone follow football? It was really weird, but they are bottom. Man City fans, 160, not many of them. They barely turn up to games. They didn't turn up to our chomp either. So who are we going to chomp this week? I'm actually going off the back of last week. My genuine opinions tend to stir a little bit more chomp than a normal actively trying to chomp someone chomp would. So I'm going to just give a football opinion, which I know full well that people disagree with, that people are divided about, but I feel really passionately about, and that's Gareth Southgate's job at England. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell all of the world and the TikTok people who like to chomp normally, that Gareth Southgate is, because I believe he is, the best thing to happen to England since Sir Alf Ramsey in 66. Okay, I'm going to prepare the video. I'm going to do a little monologue. Bear with me, and I do apologise. Gareth Southgate is the best thing to happen to England since 1966. I think England fans are the biggest glory supporters around. You look at club football, if people treated their clubs in the same way that England fans do England, you would call them glory supporters because they turn up when we're doing well and they cannot wait to pile on when something goes wrong. And in fact, they don't just do that. They abandon the team completely. The amount of times over, I mean, certainly since I grew up, I would hear people say, oh, no, I don't follow England. They're shit. That's not the point. You follow Scunthorpe, they're shit. You follow Tranmere, they're shit. Why wouldn't you follow your own country? And I think the biggest thing that has negatively impacted England teams over the last couple of decades, I'd imagine maybe 3 or 4, is the negativity from the fans. People don't feel as passionate about the England team as they do their club. And I think we differ slightly to other countries because of that. Therefore, the media cannot wait to get on the players' back, the managers' back, and that fuels fans' unrest every year when we get knocked out of a major tournament, or every 2 years or 4 years. we have one opportunity every 2 years to win a trophy, and that is every single team in the world. That's Argentina, that's Brazil, that's France, that's Germany, all the best teams. There's only one trophy every 2 years. It's not club football. You can't just put Southgate in that same bracket because he hasn't won anything. International management is completely different. Southgate's biggest triumph for me is he has changed the opinion, the overall look of the England side. What we think, what we feel about the England team now is completely different to what it used to be 10 years ago when we were getting knocked out of tournaments with some of the best players around. And people will always throw this at Southgate, if he does succeed, that he should have anyway. That is completely unfair. We've had the best squads ever, and I don't want to hear that this is the best squad that England's ever seen and we should be winning stuff. That is unfair, because we've had Scholes, we've had Beckham, we've had Rooney, we've had Owen, we've had Ashley Cole, Rio Ferdinand, John Terry. Some of the best players to ever play in those positions have played all at the same time for that England team over a span of maybe 10 years, and we didn't win anything then. And you can blame the manager, or you can blame the players, and you can say whatever you want. We underperformed. Right now, we're performing, and I think if we were still under the same management or style that we used to be, where we'd bring in these random managers, Sven Eriksson, Capello, we would be nowhere near where we are now under Southgate. He's created a feeling that I think, particularly in my lifetime, I've never seen. I think the closest we probably had was 96, but the squad is together. It's passionate. And for the first time, like I said, in my lifetime, I'm seeing players play better for their country than they do for their club. We have got a team who actually likes each other, that aren't competitive with each other, that aren't letting their club rivalry overpower how they feel when they're in an England camp. I think we are looking at a team and a squad and a feeling as a country that is completely different because of Gareth Southgate. Since he came in, that all changed. And now we look like every tournament, we could win a tournament. We could be one of the contenders. Sometimes, particularly the last 2-3 tournaments, we've been favourites. You know, and we haven't got a better team than we did in 2004 or 2006. We've got a significantly worse team as far as the back four and the goalkeeper's concerned. But I think every single player ups their game. Jordan Pickford wouldn't swap him for anyone. Harry Maguire at centre-back wouldn't swap him for anyone. Kieran Trippier, Kyle Walker. You can play all these players. Luke Shaw. And now we've got the added Jude Bellingham, Declan Rice. These players who are performing at a better level for their country than often their clubs. The thing is, this is where all the mouths like Mark Goldbridge, slate Southgate as soon as he puts a foot wrong. If the team's not winning 9-0, he's on there, oh, Gareth Southgate's shit, he's a terrible manager, get him out. People like him are exactly why England teams have done badly in the past. Get behind your side. When England take that first step out at the European Championships in Germany next year, get behind your team, put your little biases aside because you don't like the manager, stop crying, get behind your country and support them. That's the only thing that's going to help this team. Not you crying that Gareth Southgate's the manager because he maybe managed Middlesbrough once. Like, you are not supporting the manager, therefore you're not supporting the team. He's not going anywhere. He's doing a good job. The FA believe in him. The players, more importantly, believe in him. So it's time you believed in him. This is where Gareth Southgate hopefully brings home a trophy, shuts up all the haters, and for me, hopefully walks away as a hero that he should be considered for what he's done for English football. Right, okay, guys. Next up, two lies and a truth. Let's do two lies and a truth. Everyone knows this already, but it's three stories. We tell you three stories. Two of them I've made up. One of them's a true story. They're crazy. They're in the world of football. You got to tell me which one it is. Okay, first story. Former Norwich striker Darren Huckabee once lost 19 grand after he dreamt he'd won by putting all that money on the roulette table. While in Vegas, Huckabee went straight to the casino floor the next morning and placed £19,000 on the number 19, and it lost. Story number two. Former St. Johnstone striker Gideon McTackle was once fined by the club for urinating in the kit man's cap. Or is it story number three? Frank Lampard joined the World Darts Championship after retiring and won. They called him Magic Lampard. That's three stories. One of those crazy stories is true, and we'll be revealing the answer at the end of the show, so make sure you stay tuned. Up next is TikTok submissions. This is the part of the show where you get to influence and guide the show by sending us your little inputs, your favourite videos throughout the week. Normally, we have a lot of animals. Hopefully, this week, there's a lot of football. Let's get the first video going. All right. Okay. I'll watch that again. Touch. Volley. Oh, what's the keeper doing? Phenomenal strike there.
Right here?
Yeah, right here.
Okay.
I'd like to put myself right just maybe in front of Caleb, if that's everyone's okay with that.
Nope.
No. Just maybe.
Yeah.
I, as a man with male strength, would like to put myself ahead of the 5 foot two girls that are in front of me. What? Sorry.
Aquaman, man. You need to come over here, Aquaman. You in DC?
Like, I think I look a lot scarier than I actually am, so I would be probably like swapping.
Okay, just because the girl's massive, it doesn't mean she's strong. It's a different bone structure, different muscle distribution throughout the body. Why do girls think they're stronger than men? Some girls are stronger than men, but 99% of the time, you're not. Different biology. We are now in a world where we just deny biology. We pretend it doesn't exist. Oh, you're massive. And I bet not one of them has pointed out that she's fat instead of muscular.
Yeah. All right. I can already tell you that we're definitely underestimating you two. There's no way.
We're definitely underestimating you two. Tiny women. Tiny, teeny women. We're definitely underestimating you. There's men. 6 foot tall men. There. Come on. Why do we do this? Why do we entertain this, man? Who sent me this? The crowds at the women's football are singing, "What the blinking hell was that?" First of all, the most British thing anyone's ever sung. Second of all, don't go. Be honest, the women's football is for children, for families. And I love that about it. But that, imagine you're away at Millwall, right? And your fans, and you're playing, and your fans are going, "What the blinking hell was that?" Honestly, I'd walk off. Have a guess. Three guesses what game he was playing to cause that. Goats really freak me out, man. I bet you if he knew English, he'd have talked then.
Even worried.
Do you reckon you had that covered?
No.
Oh no, Cal, you had that.
Danny, I didn't ask you.
Have this one covered, Cal.
Go on then.
Oh, I'll tell you something. Boy, he's got the piss out of you.
Here's a theory about Cal the Dragon. I think a lot of it is an act. And this video is evidence for it. I think Cal the Dragon is an act, and this video is the defining proof. Because he's quick there, and he pulls his pants down with that. I like him. I think I like him.
Where did you stand on him?
No, Mancini. He's liked by the fans, not by the players. There was conversations at that time, literally, topics were, how can we win the league and get the manager to sign at the same time? How does that happen? Wow. And you had to pick one, like literally. So we played at Everton the year we won the league. Yaya's away. Our form had gotten a bit inconsistent then. So we come in, we lost 1-0. And we copied after the game. And he's going, "You's like, shit. You will never win a game without Yaya Toure." The place erupted. It erupted. Oh. I thought, everyone, that was it. But like, if he's done it for that reaction, then you're a genius. Yeah. But I don't think he did. I think he just said it because he felt that way. And he said to me, like, "I don't blame you. I blame me for picking you."
Oh! Oh, yo! Wow.
Yeah, it was deep.
It was deep.
Yeah, it's a good shout, though.
For someone who's won so much in the game, nobody's really got good things to say about Mancini. Everyone falls out with him. There must be some magic in there. Like, to win an international tournament, granted, I mean, England should have won it. There's something to it. There's something to him. But you can see, every player who's ever played under him seems to have fallen out with him or doesn't rate him as a manager. They're pulling his face off like it's a Scooby-Doo mask. Ah, oh, that's fucking brilliant. Put his face back on. He needs that. I want to see that again. That dude is going through it. He's obviously started a fight and probably regrets it. What's funnier to me is I imagine that guy is in the middle of a fight and actually didn't start it and tried to stop it. But someone's got his face this way. Someone's got his face this way. And he's kind of getting stretched like he's in Scooby-Doo. Oh, poor guy. How are monkeys real? I'll put it to you, because there's only two options that allow monkeys to be real. Either they're us, or they're aliens. They can't be an animal. They're us or aliens. He's using a fork, for fuck's sake. Who taught him to use a fork? Do not teach monkeys to use more tools than they already know how to use. Have you not seen Planet of the Apes? Dude! What comes out? Noodles. Oh, God. That would have been the first. I nearly fucking threw up on a podcast. Look at the size of his fingers. Like mine. Stop dressing up monkeys and teaching them tools. Planet of the Apes. Do you know what is a bit of a shame this season? That I feel like, or actually the last couple of seasons, since Trent's position became a little bit ambiguous, and I think Klopp started moving him centrally, we've lost that side of Trent. I know he still gets occasionally gets assists and stuff like that, and actually impressed really out of a really mediocre game against Malta the other week. But we've lost that side of Trent, and I think you lose that in midfield as well. Nothing like those spaces he's occupying are right back, they're full back positions that kind of turn as a overlapping wing back positions, and he gets to cross from them. Whereas now he's more central or he's deeper. I don't know. I feel like we've lost something to Trent.
Yeah, and I mean, he got taken apart by Torres, you know, in that one game. Remember at Old Trafford when Man United lost 5-1.
You mentioned that game in the time. Welcome back, Group T. About to begin Serbia and Ghana. Before we go any further in our coverage, may I apologise to our viewers who may have taken offence to Graham's remarks just before the break.
It's shocking to hear that, but at the same time, it's accurate. Analogy? Maybe use something else? I don't know.
Hey, Pep, have you seen the quotes from Facundo Pellestri overnight where he's talking about Manchester City supporters?
Nope.
He says he lives in Manchester and goes around with his girlfriend trying to find City jerseys in the city centre and says that he doesn't see any. Do you think that's a bit of a strange thing for an individual to do, to go around a city centre looking for shirts of another team?
I will speak with the Puma department and say, what happened? That we don't have shirts. It's okay. Is this guy and his girlfriend believe that? It's fine.
A while back, me and Baker used to do Dubstitution, and it was a feature where we'd pretend to be interviewing the managers. That's what I thought this was. I thought this was like a fake interview where someone was pretending to ask him a question. But they actually asked that. And I saw that from Pellistri, actually. What City have to start answering for is where their money's coming from to demonstrate that they are the biggest team in the world in terms of turnover and profit. And City fans exist, and there's quite a few of them. Nothing compared to Liverpool, compared to Chelsea, compared to Man United, Arsenal. Where is their revenue coming from? There's a certain amount we can calculate from players they've sold, from winning the Champions League, from winning the Premier League and winning these trophies. There's certain amounts, and then there's kit deals and things like that. They are not on the same, they're not even in the same stratosphere as Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal in terms of global fan base. Where is their revenue coming from? And when are we going to look at this how it is, and it's pure corruption that they can post that? I was looking at it the other day, and obviously, you know, if they don't sell seats at the stadium, they can just buy their own seats through different investors and stuff like that. They can pay them. So they can actually record full attendances every game, even though you can see with the naked eye every game there's plenty of empty seats, and they can't sell out. They can't even sell away allocations. I don't know, man. I'm getting pretty sick of it. And obviously with Everton being deducted points, the pressure has to now come on Man City. And I don't want all the bullshit of, you know, they've won this trophy and now it goes to Arsenal, goes to even Man United. I don't want a trophy that we won by default. I want a trophy that we won because we're the best team. Man City have been the best team, but they've done it illegally. And at what point are we going to draw a line for them? You let this go on for another couple of years, like they're kicking the can down the road. We then make it even more kind of messed up, and we can't let this continue. If we're going to deduct Everton points, we need to do it with Man City. And these 115 charges, charge them with one, start the process, do something where we can see some retribution, where we can see some consequences for their actions. Because right now they're building up charges and nothing's happening. While Everton get one charge, and you can't. I know it goes deeper than that, but something needs to happen. And Everton really need to put a lot of pressure on the Premier League now to make sure that other teams who are found guilty, Chelsea are one of them as well. And I'd say this if it was Man United, by the way. If you are caught cheating, there are consequences in every sport. Why do Man City, because of their funding, get away with it? And it's in plain sight as well. Why is this bird now automatically got like a full match day experience? He's meeting the fucking players. How are you doing? I'm the bird that you just knocked out. This happens all the time. Not that birds get hit, but it happens all the time where you see birds all over the pitch in the A-League. The A-League, I think it's Sydney mainly. It's like anything coastal. You see all of these seabirds and they see this big patch of grass and they all flock to it. So every game, the ball's passed down to, and if it's on the one half, you'll see all these birds on the other half. It's nuts.
Onion is there. There's a full onion. One full onion inside this cheese and onion sandwich. I don't think you can get food poisoning from cheese and onion. But then we've also got 25p roller cola, and then we've got some 39p snacks. These are God tier crisps. Right, we're going to start with this. I want to get some nice flavours in my mouth. This is a top three crisp.
Snaps bang, to be fair. I wouldn't touch that cola. I wouldn't drink that cola if it was the last drink or the only drink I found in a desert while stranded and alone and by myself and there's just sand and I wouldn't touch it. I'd pour that away. I'd be considering pouring it on me to keep myself cool, but then I'd think it was corrosive, so I'd pour it in the sand, and then I'd feel bad for the environment because then I've potentially fucked up a whole ecosystem because I poured 25p cola on there. Why do people drink it, man? I'm not watching the rest of this. Fuck you. Hey. Is there anything worse than getting pegged right in the balls? His face, the pain. I haven't been hitting the balls in ages. And I forget, it's like having a cold, right? If you're a female, listen to this. You know when you've got a cold and the whole time you've got that cold, you're thinking, I miss all the times when I didn't have a cold and I regret not appreciating them and taking them for granted. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm probably 7 to 10 years without getting hit in the balls, and I've taken that for granted massively. This is just a moment's appreciation for not being hit in the balls. Why do you listen to this? Right, guys, that's it for TikTok submissions. Let's close the show out with revealing our answers to, first of all, the two lies and a truth. First story was former Norwich striker Darren Huckabee once lost 19 grand after he dreamt he'd won by putting money on the number 19 on roulette. While in Vegas, Huckabee went straight to the casino floor the next morning and placed £19,000 on the number 19 and lost. Story number two was former St. Johnstone midfielder Gideon McTackle was once fined by the club for urinating in the kit man's cap. Or was it story number three? Frank Lampard joined the World Darts Championship after retiring and won. They called him Magic Lampard. Three stories. Which one did you think it was? It wasn't Darren Huckabee. It wasn't Gideon McTackle. It was Frank Lampard was once a winner of the World Darts Championship and he had the nickname Magic Lampard, here's a video or a picture, whatever I've got, to show that I'm not making that up. And the quiz question was, according to FPL, which two players have the most assists so far this season? That's according to Fantasy Premier League. Which two players have recorded the most assists? The two players were Pedro Neto and Ollie Watkins, both on 8 assists for the season so far. I know FPL records it slightly different to the actual Premier League stats and Opta stats, but they are both tied at 8. Phenomenal from Pedro Neto and Ollie Watkins. Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll seal the show off. I'll tell you the normal things. Please, we struggled last week because I put some music in there, and actually we've struggled the last few weeks because of copyright issues, which means our videos do not get pushed out anywhere. You have to physically search for them while being subscribed to see them. So if you could help us, it would be amazing. If you see our videos and you're watching on YouTube, give it a like, give it a comment, just even if it's a negative one, and say your beard shit or you stink or something, because it helps us getting a little bit more traction, shows that our videos are worthy to be interacted with, and maybe YouTube will start pushing them a little bit more as well. If you are subscribed on our TikTok, if you're following us, again, like our stuff or even tell us you hate our stuff. We don't care. All the traction actually helps us, whether it's good or bad. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. But if you are listening, I do apologize, because I know majority of you do listen and you're still listening. Spotify users, Apple users, everything else, if you're listening to the TikTok submissions, I will suggest skip through them, because there's only so many I can describe to you, and it must be so boring. And I've listened to our episodes back, and I know it must be frustrating, but why not go to our YouTube? Go and follow us on there. You'll see all the stupid monkey videos. Anyway, right, I'll leave you this week with, to be fair, the most controversial topic on Goalpost TV at the moment. I'm going to leave you with all 9 of Gareth Bale's 2012-2013 strikes from outside of the box. Tell me stories.